Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor by Ram Goldhar, and today Masechta Zvachim, Daf Lamed Gimel, the third parak, Kol HaPsulim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Abraisa says that for all smichas in the Azara, it can be said that tekef smicha shchita, the shchita should immediately follow the smicha by doing the smicha in the location required for the shchita. The exemption is an Ashim Matzor because a Matzor cannot enter the Azara until his Chatas and Ashim procedures are completed. The Gemara suggests that this proves Bia B'miksas Shema Bia. Partial entry to the Mikdash is considered entry because if not, he could simply extend his hands into the Azara and perform Smicha right before Shechita. Rav Yosef answers that this price that follows the Tana that says Tzafon, where Kadosh HaKadoshim must be Shechted, is only parallel to the Mizbech, far from the Shar Nikanor, the eastern gate, where the Metzora may stand. Alternatively, Rav Yosef answers, Ko somech rosh v'ruba machnis. Whoever performs smicha must bring his head and most of his body into the Azara. This is because smicha requires kol kocho, all his strength, which cannot be done without most of his body. Point number two, the Gemara then asks, if the smicha of an Ashim Metzora is required midaraisa, and the law requiring teichaf l'smicha shchita, that the shchita should immediately follow the smicha, is also midaraisa, then leo v'lismo chahedya, the Metzora should enter the Azara and do smicha outright, since the Torah dictates it. Rav Adi Bar Masna answers, Gezer Shemi Yarbe Bepsius. There's a rabbinical decree prohibiting him from entering for smicha out of concern that perhaps he'll take extra steps in the Azara, which would incur karis. Alternatively, he answers that Techa for smicha shchita is not required in the Raisa. This is refuted from a price which darshans a hekesh between smicha and shchita, teaching that just as smicha must be performed with people who are tahor, so too shchita must be performed by those who are tahor. Now the entire reason smicha cannot be performed by tameim is to ensure that the shchita, which must be inside the azara, immediately follows the smicha, proving that teichav l'smicha shchita is required midaraisa. Rather, the second answer is that the smicha of an ashim mitzora is not required midaraisa. And point number three, the Gemara says, Tamei shenaga b'kodesh. If a Tamei person touched kachim foods, Reish Lakish says he receives malchus because the pasuk says, b'kol kodesh hosiga, he shall not touch any sacred food. Rabbi Yochanan says he does not receive malchus, explaining that this pasuk refers to touching truma. The Gemara objects that Reish Lakish uses this pasuk for the azara for a Tamei who eats kachim meat. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says the Azara is derived from a Gezer Shava of Tumaso from a Tamei who entered the Mikdash. The Gemara answers that the prohibition against touching kachim food is derived from the Afki Rachmada Balash Negia, from the Torah expressing this prohibition in terms of touching and not eating. The prohibition against eating kachim is derived from a Hekesh to a Tamei entering the Mikdash, which is Davar Sheyesh Bo Netilas Neshama, something which involves the taking of life, meaning karis, which teaches that this pasuk also includes eating kachim, which also incurs karis. So once again, the three points are, number one, Abraisa says that for all smichas in the Azar, it can be said that teikav l'smicha shchita, the shchita should immediately follow the smicha by doing the smicha in the location required for the shchita. The exemption is an Ashim Matzor because a Matzor cannot enter the Azara until his Chatas and Ashim procedures are completed. The Gemara suggests that this proves Bia B'miksas Shema Bia, partial entry to the Mikdash is considered entry because if not, he could simply extend his hands into the Azara and perform smicha right before shchita. Rav Yosef answers that this braisa follows the Tana that says Tzafon, where Kadosh HaKadoshim must be shechted, is only parallel to the Mizbech, far from the Shar Nikanor, the eastern gate, where the Metzora may stand. Alternatively, Rav Yosef answers, Ko somech rosh v'ruba machnis. Whoever performs smicha must bring his head and most of his body into the Azara. This is because smicha requires kol kocho, all his strength, which cannot be done without most of his body. Point number two, the Gemara then asks, if the smicha of an Ashim Metzora is required midaraisa, and the law requiring teichaf l'smicha shchita, that the shchita should immediately follow the smicha, is also midaraisa, then leo v'lismo chahedya, the Metzora should enter the Azara and do smicha outright, since the Torah dictates it. Rav Adi Bar Masna answers, Gezer Shemi Yarbe Bepsius. There's a rabbinical decree prohibiting him from entering for smicha out of concern that perhaps he'll take extra steps in the Azara, which would incur karis. Alternatively, he answers that teichav l'smicha shchita is not required midaraisa. This is refuted from a price which darshans a hekesh between smicha and shechita, teaching that just as smicha must be performed with people who are tahor, so too shechita must be performed by those who are tahor. Now the entire reason smicha cannot be performed by tameim is to ensure that the shechita, which must be inside the azara, immediately follows the smicha, proving that teichav smicha shechita is required midaraisa. Rather, the second answer is that the smicha of an ashem mitzora is not required midaraisa. And point number three, the Gemara says, Tamei shenaga b'kodesh. If a Tamei person touched kachim foods, Rish Lakish says he receives malchus because the pasuk says, b'kol kodesh hosiga, he shall not touch any sacred food. Rabbi Yochanan says he does not receive malchus, explaining that this pasuk refers to touching truma. The Gemara objects that Rish Lakish uses this pasuk for the azara for a Tamei who eats kachim meat. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says the azara is derived from a gezer shava of tumaso from a Tamei who entered the mikdash. The Gemara answers that the prohibition against touching kachim food is derived in the afki rachmad b'lashon negia from the Torah expressing this prohibition in terms of touching and not eating. The prohibition against eating kachim is derived from a hekesh to a Tamei entering the mikdash, which is davar sheyesh bo netilas neshama, something which involves the taking of life, meaning karis, which teaches that this pasuk also includes eating kachim, which also incurs karis. All right, so now we get our siman daf lamed gimel, and our standard siman is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg leg pirate, who was banished from the ship because he had saras, and told that he cannot extend his hands into the azar to do smicha on his ashem since it requires klokocho with most of his body, and that there's a gezer from entering for smicha since he might take extra steps, which would incur malchus, was glad he wasn't the tummy pirate he passed, who was getting malchus for touching foods. Once again, slow motion. The peg leg pirate, that must be more on daf lamed gimel. The peg leg pirate, who was banished from the ship because he had saras, and told that he cannot extend his hands into the azar to do smicha on his ashem, since it requires klokocho with most of his body, which reminds the Gemara discusses why a matzor cannot extend his hands into the azar to do smicha on his ashem. Rav Yosef answers, kosomech rosh v'ruba machnis, whoever performs smicha must bring his head and most of his body into the azara. This is because smicha requires klokocho, all his strength, which cannot be done without most of his body. So the peg leg pirate, who was banished from the ship because he had saras, and told that he cannot extend his hands into the azar to do smicha on his ashem since it requires klokocho with most of his body, and that there's a gezer from entering for smicha since he might take extra steps, which would incur malchus, which reminds us, the Gemara then asks, if the smicha of an ashem mitzor is required midaraisa, and the law requiring teichav smicha shechita, that the shechita should immediately follow the smicha, is also midaraisa, then leo v'lismo chohedya, the mitzor should enter the azara and do smicha outright, since the Torah dictates it. Rav Adar Bar Masna answers, gezer shem yarbe bepsios. There's a rabbinical decree prohibiting him from entering for smicha out of a concern that perhaps he'll take extra steps in the azara, which would incur karis. So the peg leg pirate who was banished from the ship because he had saras and told that he cannot extend his hands into the azar to do smicha on his ashem since it requires klokocho with most of his body, and that there's a gezer from entering for smicha since he might take extra steps which would incur malchus, was glad he wasn't the tamei pirate he passed who was getting malchus for touching food. Which reminds us, the Gemara says, tamei shenaga b'kodesh, if a tamei person touch kachim foods, Rish Lakish says he receives malchus because the pasuk says, but kol kodesh hosiga, he shall not touch any sacred food. Rabbi Yochanan says he does not receive malchus, explaining that this pasuk refers to touching truma. So once again, the peg leg pirate who was banished from the ship because he had saras and told that he cannot extend his hands into the azar to do smicha on his ashem since it requires klokocho with most of his body, and that there's a gezer from entering for smicha since he might take extra steps which would incur malchus, was glad he wasn't the tamei pirate he passed who was getting malchus for touching foods. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf chavtes. So the similar daf chavtes is a cot. So here goes. The Kohen lying on a cot. Cot? That must mean we're on daf chavtes. The Kohen lying on a cot who turned his ear to hear a Kohen say, I'm not eating chutz lezmano, I'm thinking about eating chutz lezmano, which reminds us, a braisa analyzes the pasuk himself, which says, if shlamim meat is eaten on the third day, it will be pigul and will not be accepted. Rabbi Eliezer says, kov aznachal lishmok, tilt your ear to hear the correct pshat. The pasuk is discussing one who intends to eat of his carbon on the third day. It cannot refer to literally eating the carbon on the third day because after it was valid through the completed avoda, can it revert to become invalid by eating on the third day? So the Kohen lying on a cot who turned his ear to hear a Kohen say, I'm not eating chutz lezmano, I'm thinking about eating chutz lezmano, told everyone else to be quiet while doing the rest of the avodah so he can enjoy the pigel taking effect, which reminds us, pigel requires a karv hamatik mitzvasa without other disqualifying machshavos. So the Kohen lying on a cot who turned his ear to hear a Kohen say, I'm not eating chutz lezmano, I'm thinking about eating chutz lezmano, told everyone else to please be quiet while doing the rest of the avodah so he can enjoy the pigel taking effect. When a man named Yehuda said, it doesn't matter because we only follow the first, machshava, which reminds us, the Mishnah continues that if one intended lechol kazayis b'chutz kazayis l'machar, to consume a kazayis outside the prescribed place, and then intended to consume a kazayis the next day, or the reverse, or as such intentions about half a kazayis each, the carbon is possible and does not obligate kars, because there's another disqualifying machshava. Yehuda says we follow the first intent, kol shemachshavas hazman kadma l'machshavas hamakom, where every the intent of time preceded the intent of place, it is pigel and obligates kares, despite the subsequent machshava of chutz l'mkomo. But if the intent of chutz l'mkomo is first, it is pasul and not pigel. Daf Lamed. So the simcha for Daf Lamed is a Melamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The Tamur Rebbe, Rebbe, that must be more on Daf Lamed, Melamed. The Tamur Rebbe, who was showing his class what happens when one says this animal should be halved between being a Tamur's Ola and a Tamur's Shlamim, which reminds the Gemara asks, what if one said, Lachasos, this animal should be halved between being a Tamur's Ola and a Tamur's Shlamim? Since it is a single statement, does Rebbe Meir agree that both Tamuros take effect, or does he hold, even in this case, that the Tamur's Ola, which was mentioned first, takes effect and its Kedusha spreads through the entire animal? Abai says Rav Meir agrees in this case, they both take effect. But Rava says Rav Meir argues even in this case. So the Tamur Rebbe, who is showing his class what happens when one says this animal should be halved between being a Tamur's Ola and a Tamur's Shlamim, was interrupted by a Talmud who said he just did Shechita with both Chutz Lezmano v'Chutz L'mkomo intents and asked if it was similar, which reminds us the Gemara discusses whether two machshavos during Shechita are like a case of lachasos. So the Tamur Rebbe, who is showing his class what happens when one says this animal should be halved between being a Tamur's Ola and a Tamur's Shlamim, was interrupted by a Talmud who said he just did Shechita with both Chutz Lezmano v'Chutz L'mkomo intents and asked if it was similar, while standing in front of the blackboard where the words Tavos Lashon Rishon were written, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchokas if Rebbe Meir's opinion is based on Tavos Lashon Rishon, giving primacy to the first statement. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the similar Daf Lamed Aleph relates to the law, and we use a judge. So here goes. The judge, that must be more Daf Lamed Aleph, law. The judge called in to rule on the case of the sleeping half kazayis of chutz lezmano, which reminds us, if one first intended to consume a half size chutz lezmano, then intended to consume a half size chutz l'mkomo, and finally intended another half size chutz lezmano, Rava says, V'yikatz k'yoshina pigel. The pigel is awakened like one who is sleeping, meaning the first chatzi zayis of chutz lezmano, which originally joined the chatzi zayis of chutz l'mkomo to disqualify the carbon without making a pigel, is able to join with the second chatzi zayis of chutz lezmano to create a full pigel, as if awakening from sleep, and the chatzi zayis of chutz l'mkomo is not significant enough to prevent the pigel. Rav Habnuna holds otherwise. So the judge called in to rule on the case of the sleeping half kazayis of chutz lezmano, informed the Kohanim present that a dog and fire are called achilos, which reminds us the Gemara discusses whether intent for dogs or fire to consume the carbon chutz lezmano is pigel. So the judge called in to rule on the case of the sleeping half kazayis of chutz lezmano, informed the Kohanim present that a dog and fire are called achilos, and brought along his kedei achilos press watch for the Kohen who is thinking about the mizbeach eating very slowly tomorrow. Which reminds us, Rava asks if one intended for kazayis to be eaten, b'yes mechdei achilos press, in longer than enough time to eat half a loaf of bread, does this make pigel? Do we compare human consumption to the consumption of the mizbeach, since they're compared in the pasuk, which has no limit of kedei achilas pras, or do we compare it to achilas hedyot, a commoner's consumption, limiting it to kedei achilas pras? Daf Lamed Beis. So the simur Daf Lamed Beis is a lab. So here goes. The Tzar lab scientist, that must be more on Daf Lamed Beis, lab. The Tzar lab scientist, who was excited to shech the carbon l'chadchila, which reminds us, the third parak begins on the previous daf. Kol psum sheshchatu. Anyone disqualified from performing a vodah who shechted, the shechita is valid because shechita is valid when performed by zarim, women slaves, and tummy people, even for kachi kachim, provided the tameim do not touch the meat. Therefore, they can invalidate a carbon with machshava, such as chutz lezmano, during shechita. So the Tsar lab scientist, who was excited to shech the carbon, L'chadchila, saw that his colleague who installed the tumor detector in the Azara so that if any private tummy person entered, he would get a malchus, which reminds us, Ula said in the name of Reish Lakish, Tame shehiknis yadu lifnim loka, a tummy person who put his hands into the Azara receives malchus because the pasuk says about a tummy woman, she may not touch anything sacred and she may not enter the Mikdash. Malkish bial in Nagia. This pasuk compares entering the Mikdash to touching Kadshim. Managia bemixas shmanagia, just as partial touching is considered touching, since normally one touches without his entire body, af bia bemixas shma bia. So too, partial entry is considered entry. Therefore, if any part of a tummy person's body enters the mikdash, he incurs malchus for entering the mikdash as a tummy. So the Tsar lab scientist, who's excited to shech the carbon, L'chadchila, saw that his colleague who installed the tumor detector in the Azara so that if any part of the tummy person entered, he would get malchus, was confounded when a Metzora, Balkeri Tvul Yom, extended his hand in for the blood of the Hashem, and the censer didn't go off. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, if Bia b'mixas Shema Bia, how will the Metzora Tvul Yom extend his hand into the Azara for the blood of his Hashem and oil to be placed onto his thumb in order that he should be able to bring a Karban Pesach? Since partially entering the Azara is also an Aseh, Sheish Bo Karas, it should not be overridden to facilitate bringing a Pesach. Ula answered that a Metzora is different. However, Hutu Tzarasa, Hutu Kirio, since he became permitted to extend his thumbs into the Azara, despite his Tzaras, he's allowed to do so despite his Tumas Keri. Alright, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which stuff did we learn that a Metzora Balkeri Tvul Yom can enter Har Abayis Erev Pesach to complete his Tahara and bring a Karban Pesach? That's on Daf. Lamed Beis. Good. Number 2. Which Daf does Gemara bring the Psukim in Parshas Tzav and Parshas Kedoshim as the sources for Chutz Lizmano and Chutz Limkamo? That's on Daf. Chavches. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you know that Shechita Ba'ezar and other psulim is valid even L'Chadchila? That's on Daf. Lamed Beis. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we discuss which psulim can the Mizbech HaPnimi be Mekadesh? That's on Daf. Chavzayin. Good. Number 5. Which stuff is proof brought that the Pasuk and Sub is about intent for Chutz Lizmano, not eating Nosar? That's on Daf. Cheftes. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we machokes about Yasvenu collecting improperly placed blood from the Mizbeach to redo Zrika? That's on Daf. Chavzayin. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we discuss why the Metzora cannot fully enter the Azar to do Smicha on his Hashem? That's on Daf. Lama Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you discuss the case where one intended to consume a chetzi zayis chutz lizmano, then intended to consume a chetzi zayis chutz limkomo, and then intended another chetzi zayis chutz lizmano? That's on Daf. Lamedov. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you discuss why Metzora cannot extend his hands into the Azar to do smicha on his Hashem? That's on Daf. Lamed Gimel. Great. And number 10, which stuff to discuss what the din is if one said lachasos instead of tumuris ola, tumuris shlamim? That's on Daf. Lamed. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichri wishing you a great day and great learning.